KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
Sunshine and 68 degrees here at the KJAN studios. We look today here for skies to be partly cloudy, hot and humid with a high near 92. Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in local news here on KJAN. The Adams County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest of an Ottawa man after being called to a disturbance early this morning. At 1:20 a.m., deputies responded to the disturbance in Ottawa. 44-year-old Sean Dale Kammerer was arrested for domestic abuse assault, second offense, possession of a controlled substance, first offense, methamphetamine, possession of drug paraphernalia, and unlawful possession of prescription drugs. Kammerer is being held without bond until seen by a magistrate. The Adams County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest of a Creston man on multiple charges this past Sunday. On May 28th, at 1:24 p.m., Adams County deputies attempted to conduct a traffic stop on a red Buick Regal because it was not displaying license plates. The vehicle failed to stop and fled westbound on Highway 34 from the Redwood Avenue intersection at approximately 96 miles per hour. Later, the vehicle turned southbound onto Quince Avenue and pulled into a driveway. The driver jumped out of the vehicle and became very hostile. The driver resisted but was eventually taken into custody. It was determined that the driver was 33-year-old Stephen Lamar of Creston. Lamar was charged with two counts of assault on persons engaged in certain occupations, possession of stolen property, interference with official acts, possession of a controlled substance, marijuana, and possession of drug paraphernalia. It was also determined the vehicle was stolen from Creston and was later returned to its owner. The case remains under investigation. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office, along with the Iowa State Patrol, report the arrest of two Illinois residents after a traffic stop on Friday. At 12:50 p.m., officers arrested 24-year-old Bishop C. Thornton and 23-year-old Kirsten L. Tucker, both of Moline, Illinois, on valid warrants for burglary issued by the state of Illinois. Bishop was held on $50,000 cash bond, and Tucker was held on $30,000 cash bond. Both are being held in the Montgomery County Jail, pending extradition back to Illinois. A former state employee who runs a web design company with her husband wants David Young's seat in the U.S. House of Representatives. Cynthia Axne announced her candidacy on Friday for the Democratic nomination in Iowa's 3rd Congressional District. Chief among her concerns are salvaging the Affordable Care Act, boosting education, putting people to work, guaranteeing paid family leave, and providing affordable child care. Axne says that from 2005 to 2014, she worked for the state, helping agencies deliver government services more effectively and efficiently. Axne, who lives in West Des Moines, joins Des Moines consumer rights attorney Anna Ryan in seeking the Democratic nomination. Pete D'Alessandro says he's exploring a bid. He ran U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders' 2016 presidential campaign in Iowa. The 3rd Congressional District covers southwest Iowa. An Iowa medical examiner's office says the new fingerprint technology has led to the identification of a man whose body was found in Des Moines more than 33 years ago. The Polk County Medical Examiner's Office says the latent print unit at the FBI lab in Quantico, Virginia, was able this year to match a thumbprint taken from the badly decomposed body. Officials on Friday said the unit called Iowa officials Thursday to say the body was that of 39-year-old John Clifton Downey. Within hours, Iowa officials were able to find and notify Downey's next of kin in another state. Downey's remains were found beneath brush along a trail in Des Moines on February 28th of 1984 and determined to be a homicide. The investigation into who caused his death continues. A former state Democratic Party chairman says he wants to be governor of Iowa. John Norris said Thursday that he'd file papers to get on the 2018 primary ballot. He's a longtime aide to Tom Vilsack, the former governor and U.S. Agriculture Secretary. Norris said he wants to boost the state's economic growth by leveraging renewable energy, raising wages, and expanding high-speed internet. Norris joins a crowded Democratic field. Former party chairwoman Andy McGuire announced her candidacy in April, and State Representative Todd Pritchard is running, too. Polk County Conservation Director Rich Leopold and party activist John Niederbach also say they're running. Union leader Kathy Glasson announced on Wednesday that she's exploring a bid, and Des Moines businessman Fred Hubble is also considering running, as is Davenport Alderman Mike Madsen. State officials are nervously reviewing the data on state tax collections. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson has this report.
The state tax revenue that's been collected through the past 11 months is about $100 million below expectations. Jeff Robinson is a senior fiscal analyst with the Legislative Services Agency.
The budget is balanced, but it's balanced on a revenue projection that at the moment is appearing to be too rosy, and therefore we may end up the fiscal year with less revenue than the latest budget estimate.
The state's current budgeting year ends June 30th. Unless there's a remarkable turnaround in state tax collections during the next 4 weeks, Governor Reynolds may have to take extraordinary action to ensure the state budget ends the year in the black. Governors do have the authority to withdraw up to $50 million from the state's cash reserve to cover any deficit. I'm O.K. Henderson.
In other state news, in other local news as well, Audubon Community School District Superintendent Brett Gibbs reports the district is participating in the summer food service program. Meals will be provided to all children 18 and under free of charge. Meals will be provided on a first-come, first-served basis at the following site and times. The Audubon Elementary School from June 5th to August 18th from 11:30 a.m. until 12:30 p.m. That's Monday through Friday. And no service on July 4th for the holiday. And also in other state news, whether it's a kid, your best friend, or a close relative, the Iowa Department of Natural Resources is encouraging Iowans to take someone fishing over the next month, or better yet, this weekend when fishing licenses aren't required. The DNR's Julie Tack says the agency's first ever mission fishing photo contest is underway through June the 23rd.
The number one reason why people fish is because somebody invited them to go. So we are just really encouraging people to share one of the things that they love to do, their passion for fishing, with somebody that's important to them.
Tack says to be sure to pack a camera along with your angling gear.
Take somebody fishing and then take a shot of you fishing together, post it on social media, and if you put the hashtag #missionfishing on that picture, we'll be able to find it, and we are going to pick the three best pictures, and those people will win a prize.
The top three pictures will be featured in the fishing forecast that appears in the DNR's Iowa Outdoors magazine, and the winners will also get a subscription. The contest comes at the right time as the state's annual free fishing weekend is here this weekend.
From Friday through Sunday, you do not need to have a fishing license to go fishing in Iowa. Typically, the fishing license is for people that are over the age of 16. Take somebody who hasn't gone in a long time or is brand new. Take them with you, and they don't have to have a license this weekend.
And there are, in conjunction with that, some youth fishing events going on in the area here today, and that includes the Lake Anita Kids Fishing Day that starts with registration at 10 o'clock. There, meet at the beach parking lot, the area there, to register for that one. And there's also a youth fishing event that's taking place at Prairie Rose State Park here today. That's from 10 a.m. to noon as well. And both of those are free events. You can learn more about the contest by going to iowadnr.gov/missionfishing. That's a look at the latest in local news. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements here this morning. Thomas William Fletcher, age 31, of Irwin, died May 18th at home. A memorial service for Thomas Fletcher will be held today at 10 a.m. at the First Assembly of God Church in Harlan. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Dwayne A. Reed, age 87, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Atlantic Specialty Care. A celebration of life for Dwayne Reed will be held on Saturday here today at 10:30 a.m. at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Roger Berg, age 63, of Fontenelle, died May 24th in Des Moines. Graveside services for Roger Berg will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Bryant Cemetery in rural Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Darwin G. Schlater, age 82, of Exira, died May 27th at the Exira Care Center. Graveside services for Darwin Schlater will be held today at 11 a.m. at the Exira Cemetery. Kessler Funeral Home Exira has arrangements. James Leo Friend, age 79, of Erling, died May 17th at the Little Flower Haven Nursing Home in Erling. A memorial service for James Friend will be held today at 11 a.m. at the St. Joseph Catholic Church in Erling. Reconvith Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Keith Allen Jensen, age 84, of Irwin, died May 25th at the Manila Manor. Funeral services for Keith Jensen will be held today at 11 a.m. at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Irwin. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Ruth Atkinson, age 92, of Panora, died Tuesday at the Guthrie County Hospital and Guthrie Center. Memorial services for Ruth Atkinson will be held today at 1 p.m. at the Tweeg Funeral Home in Panora. Megan Kreese, age 32, of rural Fontenelle, died Sunday at home. Funeral services for Megan Kreese will be held on today at 1:30 p.m. at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Nancy E. Allen, age 85, of Avoca, died Monday at the Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Nancy Allen will be held on today at 2 p.m. at the Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Joseph P. Bach, age 88, of Erling and formerly of Westphalia, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Joseph Bach will be held here today at 2 p.m. at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. Jason Andrew Mace, age 47, of Denver, Colorado, a 1988 Atlantic High School graduate, died unexpectedly May 6th in Denver. A memorial service for Jason Mace will be held today from 3 until 6 p.m. at the Triple Room located at the Parish Center at St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Maxine Lambertson, age 80, of Atlantic, died Thursday at home. Funeral services for Maxine Lambertson will be held on Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. Virgil C. Sorensen, age 79, of Exira, died Thursday at his home in rural Exira. Funeral services for Virgil C. Sorensen will be held on Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at the Exira Lutheran Church in Exira. Kessler Funeral Home Exira has arrangements. Earl Westfall, age 83, of Kingman, Arizona, formerly of Greenfield, died May 25th in Arizona. Funeral services for Earl Westfall will be held on Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. And Gerald Jerry Herrick, age 75, of Wyota, died Friday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. A memorial lunch for Jerry Herrick will be held on Saturday, June 10th, from noon until 3 p.m. at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Hockabray Family Care Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. That's a look at your latest in news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.